to love one another. We're supposed to love one another. It doesn't always say we're supposed to like one another, right? But we're supposed to love one another. And I like the scripture that says, as far as it's possible for you. In other words, God's not saying, don't look at your brother and say, he's not loving me, so therefore I'm not going to love them. Right? So just because they're being a little stinky, I'm choosing my words, a little stinky, right? That doesn't let you off the hook of loving, right? Come on. So let's look at verse 9. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. What does that look? I love you, brother. And then you stab him in the back with your tongue. Right? I love you, brother, but, you know, your heart is far from him. That's loving with hypocrisy. It's saying one thing and meaning another thing. So this says to love without hypocrisy. And that kind of love that's there for one another. Let's go on. It says, abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, giving in honor, giving preference to one another. Oh, that sometimes is hard on the flesh. Right? And especially if... I know nobody in here has these tendencies because we're here on Wednesday night. But if you have narcissistic tendencies, it's all about me. And we have to on purpose fight those tendencies. We have to on purpose say, no, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to love you whether I'm going to prefer you. I practice that. I mean, and this is kind of a silly example, but if you notice when we have a potluck or something, I let everybody go first. Why? Because I'm practicing this. I'm practicing this. Now, I've known some folks, right, that first in line, man, first in line, get out of my way, you know, but that's fine. But for me personally, this says to prefer one another. That means to put other people before yourself. And again, that doesn't mean you let people walk on you or anything like that. But it's like I don't get up in the morning constantly thinking about how am I going to get over today? Or how am I going to make this day the best for me? Part of it has to be, Lord, I need to prefer one another. How can you do that? How is that possible? Here's how it's possible. You know that God loves you. And you trust that God has your back. You trust that God's got you covered. You trust that God is going to meet all of your needs. So it'd be really great if God used you to meet some of my needs. But if he doesn't, he's got somebody else. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I trust that God loves me. And that allows me to be vulnerable to you. I want to love you, prefer you. Why? I want to be used by God to heal you. I want to be the one that you can look back on and say, yeah, he was always there for me. He was always the one who was there when I need, you know, that type of thing. And I fall down. I don't do this 100%. But what it's talking about here is in brotherly love that you do things on purpose for somebody else when it's not convenient for you to do it. This isn't the best for me, but it's the best for you. So I'm going to do it. And I've watched you all do it. I've watched different ones who, you know, going over to somebody's house. And we had this opportunity once to go to a house and help this person move. And bless her heart. She had to be out. I mean, she was kind of being evicted a little bit. Had to be out. Well, we got over to her house. Nothing was packed, and she had to be out like in 6 hours. What did that mean? That mean getting garbage sacks, scraping off the counter, putting them in the garbage sacks and haul them out the door. That's the only way it could be done, right? So I could have an attitude, well, if you're not ready, I'm out of here. That's not love. Brotherly love says, this isn't the way I would have done it, right? This is not how I roll, but I'm going to love you and prefer you over myself. Come on, that sometimes takes sacrifice. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. I want to go over it again. All right, verse 10. Be kindly affectionate toward one another. Wouldn't that be wonderful if you just had a church that was kind? I mean, you've walked into churches, right? So have I. Christians who love Jesus. And it looks like you've interrupted their day. Especially if you sat in Jerry's seat. Right? Right? Or, you know, that was for Marty's sake. But watch this. If you, you know, it's like, well, how about just being kind? It's nice that you're here. I'm genuinely glad to see you. And I want to act kindly to you, whether you deserve it or not, whether you need it or not, whether you want it or not, I'm going to be kind to you. Right? Just kindly. So simple in concept, but sometimes it's very hard when your flesh starts to rise up. I don't want to be kind. I want to hit them with a brick. Right? But that's where we have to prefer one another over ourselves and say, flesh, shut up. And again, Mary knows the drill. It's this. If he did this for me, how can I not be kind to you? If he forgave me, how can I not forgive you? Watch this. If he believes the best for me, if he sees potential in me that I've never realized, that I don't even know exists, we need to turn around and believe God for each other for that. Does that make sense? Come on. This is good. Hallelujah. Be kindly affectionate toward one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Wouldn't it be just wonderful? I mean, I've been in churches where, especially back in the early 80s and the mid 80s, there was a big move of God on the teaching. And everybody felt like if you got there early and you got up to the front, because that's where the anointing was. So I've been to churches where they line up a half hour or an hour early before the doors open so that they can get the good seats. Right? And what would it be like knowing and practicing this is like, I'm lined up so that I can get the back row. Why? Because I want that visitor to come into the front row. I want them to be under the anointing. I want them to get everything from God that God has for them today. See, I'm just practical things, because this is reality. It said, let brotherly love continue. That's what he's talking about. Right? Hallelujah. Actually, I'm going to read a couple more verses. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Right? This is the picture of walking in brotherly love. I'm going to pray for you. When's the last time that God put somebody on your heart that's been a prayer project for you? Somebody you may not know. I've got a few of them on my heart right now, and I pray for them every day. But I don't just pray, God bless them. I'm saying, Lord, you give me your heart for them so that I can pray for them effectively. Right? I don't want the devil to win in these situations. I want victory. Now, I'm not talking about me necessarily. I'm not trying to brag on me because that's not the point of this. But what I'm trying to demonstrate is the level of this. There was one time that there was a couple that were going through some issues, and the Lord really put them on my heart. And so I fasted for them for 40 days. 40 days without food, just water. And God gave me a breakthrough. The gifts of the Spirit came up when I was talking to them, and it set them free. Why? It's because I was preferring them over my need for food. Do you see what I'm saying? And again, I'm not puffing me up. What I'm telling you is this is what God is asking us to do when He says, you know, we can just read over that. Well, let brotherly love continue. La, 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 la. But no, this is laying our lives down for one another. Right? And go back to Hebrews. And you know where the number one area or place that this needs to happen? Home. At home. You know, people come over and they see a place where you prefer one another, where you love one another. I am so blessed to be married to Renita. And we live that out. We prefer one another. We make sure that the other one's needs are taken care of. We get for them. It's just a lifestyle that we've lived, and it's so awesome. It's so awesome. But if we become selfish and we get feelings like, well, you didn't do this for me, so I'm not doing that for you. And it builds up animosity. And peace leaves the whole house. When letting brotherly love, I'm not even talking about agape love, I'm just talking about brotherly love with kindly affection be your motto and say, I don't care how she's acting. I don't care how he's acting. I don't care what they're doing. I don't care how they've misbehaved. I don't care. I'm still going to act like I love them and be kind to them and prefer them. We're just on verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Now listen to this. I love this. Do not forget to entertain strangers. That means be hospitable to strangers. Always open yourself up to God putting somebody in your path. But listen to what this says. You know the verse, but do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Angels. I'll tell you a story and then we'll go on. But there was a lady, it was out on the Key Peninsula. And you know how dark it can get back on those back roads. And she had like a 2-year-old daughter in the car, and it was just her. She was on one of those roads that just go forever, but there's no street lights, there's nothing. And she's driving along and she gets a flat tire. She didn't know how to change a tire. She's out there in the middle of nowhere, and it was in the winter, cold. What am I going to do? Lord, help me. And here comes these headlights. And they pull up and happen to be a guy in the truck. And he went through the whole process of changing the tire, making sure that they were warm and they were safe. And she thanked him. Can I give pay? No, that's all great. She got back into her car, sat down in the seats, looked in the mirror, and there was nothing behind her. No car had gone past her. Look at this. I like it because this word angel means messenger. A messenger from God. Did you know that God can use even a stranger that's a human being to bring you a message? Right? But if you do not heed to them, then you'll miss what God is saying. Right? So it's kind of like, Lord, you want me to talk to this person. I really don't have the time. It's not convenient to me. But Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. And you're talking to them, and then all of a sudden they say something. And it ministers to you. I was going to minister to you. No. By you opening up that door, God can use somebody else to speak into your life. So sometimes it's so easy to rush through life. You and I have been there. We got to go in the store, right? We got to get three things. For men especially. If we're going to get three things, we think in ahead of time exactly where they are in the store. And we're going to run into that store, we're going to get those three things, and we're going to be back in our car within 7 minutes. Right? Because that's how I Christmas shopped before Amazon. You know, I knew exactly what I was going to get. I knew exactly where it was. I parked by the closest door in the mall that I could get to. I'm in and out. But I probably passed 50 people in the mall at that time. But I was unaware of them. Because I was so wrapped up in me. Does this make sense? It's kind of like, listen, when you have strangers with somebody you don't know, just don't pass them off. But begin to look at them. God, is this another opportunity to be used by you? Right? How many of us say, oh man, I want to be used by God. That's what got me in ministry. That's why I went to Bible school. That's why, you know, I've done everything that I have for all of these years, because I want to be used by God. But sometimes we look at being used by God as what I'm doing right now, or maybe going to the hospital and laying hands on the sick and seeing people healed and delivered. But it's just as much being used by God to be able to speak into somebody's life. Smiling at somebody, telling them, you know, hey, I don't know if this means anything to you, but I just need to, you know, I really appreciate the service that you gave me, right? I was, this is a few years ago, I was with a guest minister. This has happened more than once, but I was with a guest minister. We were in Gig Harbor, and we had ordered lunch, and we were having lunch, and the waitress came up, and I just said, you know, I just feel impressed that do you have a prayer need? Is there something going on? God's just put you on my heart. Is there something going on? And she just started to break down. She said, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. And I was able to speak into her life a word of encouragement that she needed at the time. But I've been in other restaurants where I don't hardly look at the waitress or the waiter. How many people are we passing by? All I'm saying is open ourselves up to be aware. That's all. Just be aware. Verse 2. This is just verse 2. Verse 3. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. This isn't talking about necessarily prison ministry, although prison ministry is awesome. What he's talking about here is you've got people that were in your Bible study or in your home group that are now in prison cells being tortured for their faith. They're in chains right now in a dungeon waiting to be executed because they wouldn't deny Jesus. Right? He's saying, when is the last time that you let God put on your heart those people that are in China from the underground church that are in the rehabilitation centers trying to be reprogrammed to deny Jesus? That's still going on, right? You know, in some of these countries, deny Jesus or we're going to take your head off. And so what I'm saying is, and it's not a guilt trip, but it's like, Lord, open us up to really walk in brotherly love. And this means looking at other people's lives who are suffering and spend time praying for them. And praying, Lord, main thing we pray is, Lord, your grace upon them while they're going through this. Because we can't always pray and believe that they're going to be released from that prison. There are some people that are in those cases that are going to die for their faith. But we can pray that God's grace would be upon them so that in the midst of and in that hour when they have to make that final decision, they'll have the strength and the power to get through what they're going through. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. Verse 3. Verse 4, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. This is in the original. Let me just say that. This is in the original language, right? This is not something that somebody slipped in. Here's the connotation in it. I don't want to go too far into it, but the physical intimacy has spiritual application. There's a spiritual connection with the physical intimacy. And what God is saying here is that I've designed this a certain way because I want you to be united with that other person and your spirits be connected to me. And if you bring somebody else into it or you bring another thing into it, it perverts the very thing that I meant for our union together. You know, when you go to a marriage, and especially when people come to me to get married, I years ago I was in the shipyard working and they all knew I was a pastor. And there was a couple in the church or in the shop and they wanted to get married. And so the guy comes up to me and says, hey, you know, we were wondering if you'd marry us. But we don't want anything religious. I said, well, I'm not your guy. Honored, you know, that you're asking whatever. But I'm representing God when I'm standing in a place where two people are coming to make a commitment to one another. And it's not a commitment to me. They're coming to make a covenant before God, right? And so it's an honored place. And it's honored among all. Verse 5, it says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Well, we could stop there for a while. What do you mean, let your conversation? This word conversation, it means lifestyle. But it could mean conversation. Right? Because watch this. How many of us listen to respond rather than listen to hear? All of you, just like me, you meet somebody new. You know, hi, I'm Jane. Oh, hi, Jane. And then you get to talking, and about 2 minutes later, what's her name again? Why? Because you were concerned about how you were going to respond, not about what she was saying. See, so even in your conversation, you're coveting the attention. It means I need to get what I need to get out of everything that I'm in. I need to get it. Right? And our world is just so given to covetousness. Every ad that you see on TV, every, you know, Facebook. Have you ever noticed this? If you look up something, you know, like you're looking up, I need new pants. And so you go to Amazon for pants. Pretty soon all your Facebook ads are pants. Right? What is that? That's trying to get your eye to go toward covetousness. It wouldn't be just nice to have those pants. I need those pants. right? Or that car, or that motorcycle, or that boat, or those golf, or whatever it is. And God is saying, don't live a life that is driven by a need that's not from me. Don't be driven by, I really need that. Whenever you're feeling that, back up a little bit and say, God, do I really need this? Is this really something that you have that will be beneficial to me and to others? Or is it just covetousness? Hallelujah. Look again. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Whew. That is such an awesome thing. Be content. Be content. And I'll tell you, this is so powerful. On our trip, Scott was with us on this trip. We were in Guatemala, and we're, you know, we're working all day, and then we go into churches and minister. Well, we went to this one church that was out in the middle of the cornfield. You remember this, Scott? And it's out in the middle of the cornfield, and pastor, and you know, it was really funny because as soon as the light went in, the bugs came in. It was just awesome. But we took this pastor home in our van, and it took a little while for us to go up mountain roads and around to get to his house. And we got into his house, and we had some things we wanted to give him. And his house was made up of dirt floor with one light coming down in the middle. And I think it was him and his kids and his grandkids and whatever. And they had a stove, but the stove was a burner thing, you know, a wood fireplace on the outside of the house in this little compound. And that's what they had. But the look on all of their faces was such contentment. It was just astounding to me. And then I found out, here's this pastor and his wife and his, you know, kids. In order for them to get to their church, they walked. And so they walked on a trail over a mountain pass to get to their place. Now watch this. This same pastor, there was a church about two blocks from their house. He built that church. He built the church up. God spoke to him and he gave that church to somebody else, and he took the church in the cornfield. But he was content with doing God's will. And whatever that meant, whatever that meant to eat, let's be thankful for the beans and rice. Let's be thankful for the steak. Let's be thankful for the filet mignon. Let's be thankful for all of that, but don't let us gravitate toward needing something. We have to learn to be content. Paul said it this way. He said, man, I've been abased, I've been abounded. I've had a lot, I've had a little. But I've learned in whatever state I find myself therein to be content. Who has to be content? I have to be content in the state that I find myself. That is not an easy position to get in when you're concerned about, well, you know, they have this and they have that, and I need this and I can't have that, and how come this is happening to me, and how come I don't have the new car and she's got the new car and they've got the new car, and contentment is gone, but so is peace. So is joy, and what comes back in is depression. What comes back in is a sense of being less than. I've told you the story, but it comes to mind again. And she's in heaven now, but Barb Beardsley came into my office one day, and she said, she, you know, and we were talking, and she says, well, You know, God does everything for everybody else, but he never does anything for me. And I said, uh-huh. And I'm going, God, how do you want me to answer this? All right, what do you want me to say to her? And here's what God spoke to me. And so I said, Barb, you know God loves you, right? Oh, yes, I know. Yeah, yeah, you know, everybody knows God loves you. God loves you. Yeah. But her thinking was, but he loves you better than he loves me because I've seen what he's done for you, but he hasn't done that for, you know, that type of thing. And I said, Barbara, if you ever ask God, you know he loves you, right? Yes, he loves me. I know he loves me. Well, have you ever asked him to love on you? What are you talking about? And I said, well, you know, Renita, I know that she loves me. But there's times when I need to go home and I need to be with her in a place where we're being affectionate with one another, for just being in each other's company. I just need to be with her because I need to know her love. I need to feel and experience her love. Right? And I said, that's what God wants with you. Have you ever asked God to love on you? Here's how do you do that? How do you do that? And again, I'm not this smart. This was all the Holy Spirit, right? Because I'm going back there going, oh my Lord, how do I answer this? How do I do that? I said, you get your mind, you get in your secret place with God, whether that's by tapes, by worship, by praying in the Spirit, but get your mind off of everything else and put your mind on Him. Get to a quiet place and just do it every day. Have a place every day where you just get alone. And you're not studying to see how many scriptures you can get through. You're not studying to pass an exam. You're not studying to get a sermon. You just want to be with Him and say, Lord, here I am. And I just get quiet before you. And I just come into your presence and just love on me. It was about 9 months later, a year later, she came up to me one day. She said, you saved my life. I didn't. The Holy Spirit did. But you see, she learned the door of contentment is always recognizing and being in His presence. Come on. It's like, how do I get content? Jesus loves me, this I know. Right? Or you just begin to worship Him. Or you just be, God, I know you're with me. I know you love me. So Lord, I'm shutting down all of my to-do list. I'm shutting down this. I'm shutting down this. I'm blocking out even the pain in my body right now. Lord, I just want to be with you. Because that's where our contentment is. Is that good? I think that's really good. Hallelujah. Because look at this. Let your conduct, verse 5, be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you believe that? I think we do, but I think we don't. I just need to get to a service and get in God's presence. I love to be in services where God's presence is. Don't misunderstand me. But I have God's presence with me now. When? Now. Right now. Right now. Whether I'm in a good experience, a bad experience, something that's really joyful, or maybe even something that's really painful. I have His presence with me right now. Because He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say. Everybody say, boldly say. There's something different about boldly saying something. There's a confidence. There's an assurance. There's a, I'm telling you, right? I'm telling you I can do that. I'm telling you I'll be there. I'm telling you that I'll get through this. I'm telling you I will fix that. I'm telling you, boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I will boldly say to who? I will boldly say to who? I'm just going to get on the internet and tell everybody boldly that. No, I think you have to tell you. I think your first one you have to tell is you. You talk to yourself all the time, and most of you answer yourselves, right? But we have to talk to ourselves. The Lord is with me. Bruce, quit it. Quit whining. Quit complaining. Quit being miserable. Quit it. Why? Because God is with you. Go to Psalms 91. I'm doing me good. I don't know how I'm doing for you, but this is awesome. Come on. Psalm 91. And most of you could probably quote at least part of these verses. And this is a verse of Moses. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. He who dwells. That's what we're talking about. I need to be quiet before God. In the midst of my worry, in the midst of my frustration, in the midst of my anger, in the midst of my joy, in the midst of whatever I'm going, I need to be dwelling in the secret place. That means the place that's set aside for him. I need to dwell. That means to live in. That means I'm very comfortable in that. That could be your recliner, right? That could be a place by the stream. I know people that go for walks. Each one of us is different, but there's a secret place that all of us need to have. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I need to dwell. But when I'm dwelling, he's there with me. He's protecting me. He's carrying me. Now listen to verse 2. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge. He is my fortress, my God, and in him will I trust. Who are you telling that to? You're telling that to you. You might tell it to anybody that's listening, but the main person that you're telling this to is you. And if you're married, you need to tell it to your spouse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge. My job's not my refuge. My mental health coach is not my refuge. My doctor is not my refuge. My banker is not my refuge. My church is not my refuge. The Lord is my refuge. He's the one that I run to. He's my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. We have to boldly say it. We have to boldly say it. And it says, say it. Don't just think it. Don't just ponder it. But say it. Say it when? All the time. All the time. All the time. You know, there's something about getting the word inside of you and making it a part of who you are that it becomes automatic to you. Right at the beginning, you might be going along and troubles just are always overtaking you. Your life is out of control. You're just spinning out of control. And the first time you say, the Lord is my refuge and my fortress, and my God in whom I'll trust. And you no more believe that than, you know, that you can walk off of the stage on the air. But you keep saying it, and you keep saying it, and you keep saying it, and you're starting to paint a picture on the inside of you of the reality of what's in the Spirit. And you get to a point where it's an automatic response to whatever trouble is facing you. The Lord is my refuge. He's my fortress. My God will I trust. Oh, they just put down a foreclosure notice. The Lord is my refuge. The doctor just said I got to die. The Lord is my refuge. He's my fortress. He's my God, and Him will I trust. Well, the world is going to heck in a handbasket. The Lord is my refuge. Well, you know, they may take your job, or they may take your houses away. If you're a Christian, they might. The Lord is my refuge. You see, when you develop this as a lifestyle, then contentment can be the result of you living in this. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. But if you don't say this, you'll say the very things that bring distress. So it's your choice. God, He said it this way. He said, I put before you this day life or death. And then He said, choose life. So we have to choose what we allow to come into us. And I'm telling you, a lot of your automatic response is because you have not hid His Word in your heart. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay, I've got a few more minutes. But we need to boldly say, everybody say boldly say, back to Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 6, so we may boldly say, why can we boldly say? Because the Lord is with us. Because the Lord said He'd never leave us nor forsake us. What are you going through? What's your family going through? What's your household situation? The Lord said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I like that because that's dependent on Him and not on me. In other words, when I mess up, when I get mad, when I cuss, when I don't cuss, but whatever it is, whenever I'm doing something that's not right with God, that's not the determining factor. The determining factor is I made Jesus the Lord of my life, and He said He'd never leave me nor forsake me. So I can be assured that if I ask for forgiveness, He's faithful and just. In other words, His being with me is not codependent on my actions in order to earn His presence. It's absolutely assured because of His actions on my behalf. Glory to God. Glory to God. But you can go out of here and go, boy, that was a good message. But if you don't go out of here saying, then the message is only going to stay as long as it takes you to get to your car. And that's for me. That's not just for you. That's for me. That's for all of us. His Word in our mouth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm looking at David. If you ask David how he's, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm just going to talk about them for a minute. Joan at one point was just, you know, she was kind of a little irritated. He's always blessed. He's always blessed. But she came to me one day and she said, you know, I've noticed that the more I say that, the more I feel that, the more I experience that. I'm blessed. My circumstances may not always be blessed, but I'm blessed in my circumstances. Why? Because God is with me. Whew. I'm on my way to heaven and the going just gets better every day. I'm walking with Jesus, talking with Jesus all along the way. Come on. So true. It's so true. It's so true. Come on. Hallelujah. I was going to finish this whole chapter, but I'm not. Listen to this. Verse 7, it says, remember those who rule over you. That means those who have authority over you, those who are leading you. Remember those who are leading you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. What does this mean? We're not to idolize anyone. Yeah. Bless God, He's the pastor. We can't touch Him or talk to Him because He's, you know, Forget all that nonsense. But what this means is those that are leading have a higher responsibility before God. Do you know that I'm responsible for everything I'm saying to you? And I'll be held accountable for it when I get to heaven? Every bit of it. No pressure. No pressure. No pressure. So when it says remember them, it's not just put them in a lofty position, but honor them. And pray for them. And understand that they are in a place. We're going to close with that. But we have come to a place in our society where honor is not a thing that's esteemed like it used to be esteemed. And I'm going to date myself, but when I was in school, we never called a teacher by their first name. Right? I never called my friend's mom and dad by their first name. It was Mr. or Mrs. There was respect, there was honor that was, you know. And it's like I've never demanded, and I'm not demanding it now, nor even it's not that big a thing to me. But, you know, you come up to me, well, Bruce. When I'm standing in the office of a pastor, I'm not just Bruce to you. I'm Pastor Bruce. And it's a place of that God has placed me. And the more that you consider that and honor that, the house will be better. That's all I can say. I'm thinking of a couple of families. There is no way they would allow their kids, and their kids are all grown now. But their kids, even when they see me now, it's Pastor Bruce. Never Bruce. Never without pastor in front of it. Why? Because that's the position that I hold of influence in their life. And we'll talk about that more next week. But honoring. Right? Did you get something tonight? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. I thank you for your word. And Lord, we will boldly say of the Lord, you are my helper. You are my fortress. You're my strength. You're everything that I need. I thank you, Lord, that you've given your Holy Spirit to dwell on the inside of me. And tonight, Lord, we just acknowledge your presence in our lives. Lord, all those that are watching online, God, I just ask that you would reach your anointing into the room where they are and touch them in Jesus' name. I command all attacks of the enemy to be broken over your lives in Jesus' name. I plead the blood of Jesus over your heart, over your mind, over your finances, over your bodies. And in Jesus' name, I declare his presence in your life, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you for joining us. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory.